This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I know we're releasing this on Election Day. It has nothing to do with Election Day, but we thought maybe you might need a little distraction today so you're not sitting around worrying and freaking out. Just so listen for an hour and relax. It's a great show. And don't forget to go vote. Go vote. If you haven't voted, go vote first and then come back. We'll wait. Just pause it and go vote and then come back. All right, Scott, are you ready?
Kurt, I am ready.
Man arrested after repeatedly calling 911 about restaurant's small clams.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into bananas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bananas. I am Kurt Brownler.
I am Scotty Landis, Banana Boy number two, and thank you for listening to the silliest little podcast there ever was. Kurt, before we bring on our guests, I just want to give a shout out real quick. I've been getting a lot of calls on the Bananas phone from nurses, tons from nurses, coming off long shifts, and I just want to say thank you. I guess we can dedicate this one to the nurses out there.
Yes. Yes, and, as we all know, I don't know if you guys know, my mom was a pediatric nurse for 50 years. Nurses hold a very soft spot in my heart. You guys are doing amazing work. And often, I find disrespected by doctors.
Mm.
And so I say, fuck doctors, and up with nurses.
Well, until next week, then we'll dedicate that one to doctors.
And then, and then we'll tell the nurses to go.
Yeah, but April in Texas and Samantha in Maine and the one young lady who called me crying, we're glad to make you laugh. Thanks for listening. This one's for y'all. Kurt, get into it.
And thank you for doing what you're doing now. God, it's tough. All right. We have such an amazing guest today. Very excited. She is an Emmy award-winning journalist, science communicator, television personality, author, and podcaster.
Amazing.
She is the science correspondent on National Geographic's Brain Games and the creator and host of the weekly science podcast, Talk Nerdy. Please welcome Cara Santa Maria.
Yeah. Woo!
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi, how are you?
Hi. That makes me sound fancy.
Yeah. You are fancy.
Heck yes.
It doesn't feel like it most days. Most days I'm just slogging through, man.
Yep. That's kind of what it's about right now. We're all just kind of surviving. I'm counting it by handles of Tito's at this point. I'm like 25 handles of Tito's in this year.
I'm literally eating a Trader Joe's protein muffin while we're recording.
Wait, it's a protein muffin in a little cup?
Yeah, you microwave it. It's like so epic.
Oh, wow.
You do understand science. That's cool.
This is the best part. I love to get, as we always say, super smart people to talk about the dumbest things in the world. Do you want to hear about this dumb guy, Kara?
Yes, absolutely. I love hearing about dumb guys. Is he in Florida?
I think he is.
I bet he is.
Yep, it's in Stuart, Florida, of course.
There it is. There it is.
How did I guess? That was my deductive reasoning skills right there.
This one was sent in again by at matt.tev.ons, or Anns, I don't know. But this is a second one for Matt. Congratulations, Matt.
I think it's Matt Evans. Is it Matt Evans when you're saying that?
His name might be Matt Evans. He's put the periods in real weird places. All right. So, Matt, thank you for this. Is from Fox News. This is by Alexander Diebler. The Deeb's coming in.
God, she's
with
good.
This one.
Or he.
Okay, a man in Stuart, Florida found himself in trouble with the law after trying to report a restaurant to the police for having small clams. Nelson Augusta ordered a seafood meal at Krabby's Seafood Shack in the coastal town, but was disappointed upon seeing the size of the clams.
Uh-huh.
According to the incident report, an employee warned Augusta about the size of the clams before he placed his order, but he insisted on having clams. After the 51-year-old received his food, he complained to the restaurant about the size of the clams in the meal. Quote, he was complaining that the clams he were eating were so small he didn't want to pay for them, said the police sergeant. The restaurant responded to his complaints by giving him another order of clams for free.
So generous.
Augusto still felt the clams were too small and called 911 to report them. And then in the 911 report, he says, I ordered something and it was extremely so small. He was advised by the dispatcher to call the non-emergency police line, which she gave him the number for twice. Soon after, Augusto called 911 two more times to complain about the clams.
No.
And then that's it. They arrested him.
Good.
I think that's good. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's an abuse of the utilization. Like, his tiny clams may have prevented somebody who is having a heart attack from getting the help he needed.
Exactly.
You know what
right?
I mean?
Can you tie up the... Yeah, you can tie up operators on 911.
Absolutely you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, to play devil's advocate, how small were these clams? For a seafood restaurant called Krabby's to tell somebody over the phone that these are very... Why are they serving these? Are they smaller than a penny? Like, were they comically small? We're gonna have to find out.
God.
True. Like a decent restaurant takes things off the menu if they can't source
right.
good ingredients, right?
Right?
And maybe I'm biased and spoiled because I live in LA and like we have really good restaurants here. But I've definitely been to restaurants before where I'm like, I'd love the blah blah blah. And they're like, the hazelnut supply is not where it needs to be, so we're not serving that dish right now.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, all right. But instead, they're like, they're really small.
They're really small. Yeah. You still want them? This is Krabby's Seafood Shack. Guys, it's a shack.
It's a shack.
they get what they get, and they're giving you what they get. That's it. That's how the shack works.
I love, too, that the dispatcher was like, call the non-emergency police line.
Yes.
No, she should have been like, hang up the phone and don't call back. This is ridiculous. And even the cop, you read like a specific quote from what the cop said in the police report. Why did he take a plea? Why wasn't he just like, goodbye, this is a waste of my time?
That's
also,
right.
Also, it's amazing too. It's like to call the like imagine calling 311. Like even on the 311 app, there is definitely no section for small clams. Do you know what I mean? It's like you need a tree cut. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's also just like keep sending this guy clams until he stops calling. Just keep sending him order after order until he's just like, fine, it's fine, it's fine. Like at some point, you just have to retaliate in this world and just be like, you know what? We're going to just put bags and bags of tiny clams right outside your door until you stop calling 911. Like,
yeah, just mail them through like the snail mail. So he's just getting lots of room temperature clams for weeks on end.
I know. This guy. And what is it?
But now he's
in
jail.
It's a misdemeanor, so, yeah. I think. I don't know if it's like a felony. Maybe it is.
Yeah,
but
they didn't actually even take him in. So they arrested him, but he never left his house. So he's not currently in jail. He just has to go to court.
Man.
Can I just say, and this is going to be my like social justice-ish that I need to scratch
Please.
It. That right there, is he a white man?
Let's see. We
Tough
don't know.
Tough to say.
His
that
name, Nelson Augusto, A-G-O-S-T-O. Who
Could
knows?
Go either way.
Interesting.
Could go anywhere.
Could go either way, but I would definitely be interested to see if that is like absolute white privilege right there, being able to abuse the emergency line, and then the cops come and like... take time out of their day and then say, like, go on your
It's
way,
one
sir.
Of two things. It's one of two things. It's white privilege or it's meth. And because I found in
these two things are not mutually exclusive.
No, it is not, they are not. But I've also found like repeatedly calling 911 seems to be a thing that people on meth do.
Right.
Because it's like compulsive kind of like part of it.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense if you're like under the influence of something that is causing you to feel kind of an immediate anxiety.
Yes.
and you're trying to get that relieved, unfortunately, that's when you should probably take their access to the telephone away.
Have you guys ever heard that one where the guy called because he ate too many pot brownies?
Yes.
Like the actual recording?
And he's like, I think I'm dying.
Oh, that wasn't just a guy. That was a cop. That was an off-duty police officer.
It was a cop. I can't remember. Did he think he was dying because of the pot, or did he think he was already dead?
His wife had eaten them, and then he was sure he was dying, and he knew. You can hear like the tremble in his voice that he knows that he's a cop and he's going to get in trouble for it. I actually ran a show called What's Your Emergency that was real 911 calls that were funny-ish, but then reenacted by comedians and actors. And we did the pilot. And the best one was this guy calls just screaming. Oh, and so in certain states, all of that stuff's public record. It's like you can just get it. Florida's one of those states. That's probably why this story exists.
Yeah.
So this guy calls, and the first thing you hear is just, oh! And so you're like, here we go. And they're like, sir. And he's like, I'm turning into a werewolf. And... And they go, sir, are you okay? He's like, my stomach hurts so bad. I'm turning into a werewolf. And they're like, is there anybody there with you? And then he puts on his stepdad or his like step uncle, some guy. And the guy's like, what's up with him? And he's just like, he's over here. I don't know. He's in pain. He tells me he's turning into a werewolf. It's a full moon. And they're like, okay. And he's like, have you tried giving him Pepto-Bismol? So they do. And it works. And the guy... And then they just kind of hang up. It's like a 10-minute call. It's on YouTube. You can go find it. But it's just like, he's just like, yeah. And he takes Pepto-Bismol and then stops turning into a werewolf.
Oh, my God. I love that. Also, I love that they knew exactly what to do.
Yes.
Me too. Yeah. That's great. And also, I feel like that is a legitimate utilization of emergency services.
Right. Here's the solution.
Like, he actually thought he was turning into a werewolf, whether that was a mental health issue or he just is a believer and he did not feel well and was like, I think I read about this somewhere. This is the first sign. But either way, he was in crisis and they helped him out of his crisis. Yes. And I think that's amazing. Yep.
There was another one I can mention really briefly. It's probably a 40-second call. And it's exactly to your point, Kara. It's like this woman calls 911. She is in her car in a Walgreens parking lot, and it's getting very hot, and her car won't start, and she's starting to panic, and she's saying, it is so hot, and somebody comes over here, and my battery's dead, and I need help because I can't breathe, and it's getting so hot in here. And the 911 operator dispatcher is a woman who just goes, ma'am, just get out of the car. She goes, it's an electronic lock and I cannot get out. And she goes, ma'am, can you just reach over and unlock the car? And she goes, and then she calms. She goes, yeah, okay, that worked. And then she just, she forgot you could manually unlock your car. And she's sitting in her dead batteried car in a Walgreens parking lot, sweating, thinking she's good. I mean, these dispatchers should get paid 20% more. It's crazy.
It's interesting how much your cognitive capabilities are like really overridden when you're in panic mode. Mm-hmm. I actually just recently did a training because I'm working on my PhD in clinical psych right now. So I'm like kind of in my last go of my clinical pre-doctoral hours that I have to collect before I can do my internship. Don't ask me why, as somebody in her late 30s, I thought it would be a good idea to go back to school. But so I am doing a rotation at a big hospital here in Los Angeles, and there's a law in LA. It's not the hospital, it's the actual LA city law due to some historical not great things that you have to take this really intensive fire safety training.
Wow.
Yeah, really. It's like a 4-hour intensive fire safety training. Anybody who works in an LA hospital. So I'm sitting in this training and I'm learning all sorts of things. Like, here we go. This is a fun quiz. What is the number one thing to remember in a fire that nobody does and could probably prevent like 90% of deaths?
Don't open doors.
Close doors.
Yes.
Did you do the same training?
Kurt.
That's amazing. Most people do not know that. So like, It's not just don't open doors, but close all doors behind you if you're exiting. If you are stuck and there's a fire between you and the front door, or like you can't get outside, yeah. A, don't try to run through the fire because you might just like smoke inhale, drop mm-hmm. it in your tracks. And then there's a whole other mess that the fire department has wow. to deal with. If, let's say you're in your bedroom, close the door, open the window, mm-hmm. breathe the fresh air. All doors in California are fire-rated doors. So they all provide you protection. It's illegal. Like, oh, wow. It's a manufacturer requirement. And they're different fire ratings. Like, in a hospital, you might have a two-hour door. You might just have a 20-minute door yeah. in your, like, crappy apartment. But still, it's enough time for the fire department generally to get to you, to put out the flames, and then take you away. And wow. he told so many stories of people, like their apartment caught on fire and they ran fleeing. And even though they were safe, they forgot or they didn't think to close doors behind them on the way. And so every other apartment caught on fire. No. Multiple people would die. I mean, it's like the number one wow. thing that you should always do is close doors, and people don't know it. And I think that we often do exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to do when we're yes. in a panic situation.
Yes.
Like if you're on fire physically, right, you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. Right. Most people run.
Yeah.
Which is the worst thing to do.
I'm going to jump in the toilet.
It's like I'm running and the flames are just getting bigger and I'm also catching things on fire as I go. Yes. It's like the exact opposite of what you should
That's
do.
That's right. I cut out the That's first right. two. I just roll. I just, as soon as I'm on fire, I'm rolling. I'm not even stopping. I'm just I'm not stopping. I'm not dropping. I'm just going to start rolling the second I see, even when I smell smoke, I roll around.
And do you know what this fire officer, what is it called, firefighter, actually told us we should do if somebody else is on fire?
A blanket?
Trip them.
Oh! Yeah.
He was like, get them on the ground no matter what you do. You can tackle them. You can that. Kick their foot out underneath them. Get them on the ground so they can roll or so you can, smother the flames. But get them on the
Amazing.
Ground.
Oh, wow. That's so, I love this. I love all this information.
Yeah. This is
I know. I learned so much.
Awesome. Wow.
And that's why everywhere in a hospital has the double closing doors that automatically close on every single floor.
Yeah, so like when the fire alarm goes off. And that's the other thing he said. He's like, pull the fire alarm. Yeah. We were taught so much as kids because we were trying to avoid, like jokes and things. But like if there's a fire, even if you put it out on your own, pull the fire alarm because it might reignite. There may be other smoke problems. Like you need to alert people. Yeah. And so and also in big buildings like that, when you pull the fire alarm, all the fire doors close automatically. Sprinklers go off in certain zones. Like there's mitigation efforts. It's there that people don't realize are all a chain reaction.
I remember when I was in college, we had a house in Baltimore, Maryland.
The best.
And we had this big house and like we're all kind of asleep. It's like Saturday morning. And then our roommate Darby had decided that like he was done. I think it was Darby. He like broke up with his girlfriend. And so he was going to burn every letter
Smart.
She'd ever written her. And so he was in the backyard burning all of these like poems and like letters that
Smart.
He'd written her.
At least he did it outside.
He did it outside.
True.
But then we're woken up by bam, 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 bam. And there's 16 firefighters. Someone called the firefighters on Darby, who's just like this little punk kid who had just been writing all of his poetry.
Heartbroken.
And he's just heartbroken and burning letters in the backyard. And then we have these like Ajax and Hercules type men like running through our place with giant staffs with like hooks on them and everything. It's like we're hungover and it's terrifying on a Saturday morning.
Oh, Darby's
like, how did it end up? Like, did they commiserate? Were they like, oh, bro, I'm so
They're
sorry.
They're like, fill up a bowl with water. We filled up a bowl with water and then they poured it on there and then they all walked out. That was the whole thing.
Oh, Darby.
All right, Scotty, give me another one.
Sure. This one is in honor of Kara, also co-host The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and James Randi died this week.
He did, yeah.
Did you big know loss. Him? Did you meet him
Absolutely,
many times?
Yeah. Many times. He was a big friend. I mean, he was a huge supporter of the show.
Yes.
Like, obviously, he was an architect of the skeptic movement. So when SGU 15 years ago started. I had nothing to do right. with the show when it started. He always worked with them. They were like best friends. I came on about 5-6 years right. ago. But even just in that amount of time, I probably met him a dozen times. Yeah. I've sat on panels with him. He's been on the show.
Fascinating guy.
Massive loss.
Yeah, massive loss. Massive and loss. For the Bananimals that don't know, there's a documentary that's wonderful about him. He wrote a book called Flim Flam that I feel like everybody should have on their bookshelf no matter what. It's basically he debunks mentalists and like some types of homeopathy, and he just basically looked for things that didn't seem like they were real, and then would figure, including magic, he would figure out magic tricks. This guy was like somebody that got in there and would be like,
oh yeah, and he was a magician yeah. too, like a really really oh, respected wow. magician.
Interesting guy. Our friend Kurt and I have a friend named Nick Prewer who does this thing called Found Footage Festival, and when Randy died, he posted that he went and saw him giving a lecture where he opened the lecture. This was when he was in his 80s. He opened a bottle of herbal sleeping pills, and he proceeded to take 50 of them in a row with water swallowing at the beginning of beginning of his presentation, just to prove. And then this 80-year-old man, after taking 50 herbal sleeping pills, just was like, "These aren't real," and I'm gonna. And then talk for 2 hours about other things they uh-huh. debunked.
Oh, that's so great.
That was his go-to.
Isn't
that was
the
his
best?
Great trick. Yeah,
I love that so much. Anyways.
I love that. Anyway, give it
Here's
to me.
Here's a story in that parallels that. So this was from Gemma Carr, who sent it to us on Instagram. Thank you so much. And written by Alexandra Diebler of Fox News.
What?
I know.
Deebs. We got two Deebs.
When you think great work, you think Alexandra Diebler. She types internet stuff better than almost anybody. Perineum sunning leaves Josh Brolin's crazy burned. As doctors warn against viral wellness trend, perineum sunning leaves Josh Brolin, quote, crazy burned, as doctors warn against viral wellness trend. Okay, sun's out, buns out. See, Alexandra knows how to grab you with the first sentence.
I'm in.
I love her. A controversial new wellness practice that encourages tanning one of the body's more delicate areas has made its way to Hollywood. Shocking.
Oh, no.
To seemingly disastrous effects. Actor Josh Brolin tried out the perineum sunning. Now, for those listening at home that don't know what a perineum is, it's a taint or a gooch or a joint or whatever you call that little stamp size space between your butthole and what you got up front. So perineum sunning, which touts the alleged benefits of tanning the thin area of skin between the anus, vagina, or penis. The practice has recently gained steam. I mean, why?
Why?
People literally say this? Where the sun don't shine. Like, it's...
Are they on their shoulders with their legs spread?
They're on their backs with uh-huh. their legs in the air, pointing that that special place directly at Apollo.
For a tanning bed or for the sun?
The sun. Kurt, it's got
to
be the sun.
To do the sun. This is amazing.
You can't fit in a tanning bed that way, can you?
Yeah.
Well, like you'd have to.
Yeah.
Special ones.
Unless
that's
you're really flexible. And we're closing.
Get folded.
I get spray tanned there all the time. It's a lot safer. The practice has recently gained steam after a video posted by holistic influencer Ra of Earth suggested that, quote, sunning, end quote, claiming that it provides one with more energy from the sun in 30 seconds than you would in an entire day being outside with your clothes on. Okay.
I love this. Energy from the sun. This is a human being who's never gone to the beach before and afterwards been exhausted because they were in the sun all day long.
Yep. Another influencer who goes by Metaphysical Megan also made headlines for her similar claims of perineum sunning for the benefits of health and energy. However, what Ra of Earth and Metaphysical Megan failed to mention was do not overdo it with the vitamin D, a lesson Brolin learned the hard way. Here's what Brolin said on his Instagram post. Quote, tried this perineum sunning that I've been hearing about, and my suggestion is do not do it as long as I did. My pucker hole is crazy burned, and I was going to spend the day shopping with my family. Instead, I'm icing and aloeing with burn creams because of the severity of the pain, end quote. He also shared it on his Instagram with a string of curse words calling out the stupid trend that may in fact be detrimental to one's health. Thousands of people on social media have been sharing their bum sunning tactic, many touting it gives them way more energy. I mean, come on. Aside from Brolin, Shailene Woodley, very great actress, was an early adoptee of sunning one's nether regions. She sunbathes her vagina to recharge. Quote, I was reading an article written by an herbalist about yeast infections and other genital issues, and she said there's nothing better than vitamin D. If you're feeling depleted, go in the sun for an hour and see much how much energy you get. I know Kara is shaking her head so hard, and thank God she is. Blah, blah, blah. And then as a dermatologist, they interview doctors. As a dermatologist, I cannot recommend any sun exposure without sun protection, said Dr. Nazanin Saeed, director of the Jefferson Laser Surgery and Cosmetic Dermatology Center. These areas, just like any other area of the body, do need sun protection, and clothing tends to provide it. They recommend getting vitamin D through diet instead of pointing your taint at the sky.
Right.
Right.
You know what?
Also, we evolved to be bipedal. Like, our taints... Wait, do girls have taints?
Oh, yeah.
Little tiny ones.
Okay. Yes, the perineum.
Equal taint.
Never. Exactly. Until there are nine.
Yes.
So there. The perineum did not evolve to be within the sun's rays.
No.
Like, it is very sensitive.
Yes.
I can only, like, how do people not realize that they would be burning their nether regions?
I don't know.
You know what? I think it's great. Guys.
There we go. I like this take already.
If you think that pointing your asshole at the sun for a long period of time is going to give you energy,
yeah,
I want you to do it.
Please.
And I'm not going to be bummed out if you can't go shopping with your wife and children. You have children and you were outside just putting the...
He's Thanos, man. Thanos does what he wants.
But your butthole burnt? Then you deserve everything you get, Josh Brolin. Come on,
yeah.
Josh.
But this is why I get pissed, right? This is
yes.
kind of like the bread and butter of the Skeptics
yes.
Guide,
yeah.
and like you just mentioned, the amazing Randy, and you know what we do as skeptics is we often have to push past the like what's the harm rhetoric when it
Great.
Comes to pseudoscience,
right. mm-hmm.
and we have to say no, but let's talk about the legitimate harm. And okay, it is funny, of course, that these people are like burning their bum
yeah.
holes. And that, you know, if that were the only harm, that would be one thing. But we know that every incidence of a severe sunburn increases your risk of skin cancer. Mm. And the idea that people are exposing themselves to something that's horrific. I work in a cancer center right now. I do therapy with individuals who are mm-hmm. dealing with cancer
yes.
diagnoses. It is not something that you want to put yourself intentionally
no.
into being an at-risk individual for. And I'm not saying if you do this, you're going to get cancer.
No.
And I'm not saying that if you have cancer, you did anything to lead to
right.
that. I mean, it's so often just, unfortunately, a
yep.
fluke of genetics.
Yes.
But why increase your risk by doing something that has absolutely no scientific evidence? The only evidence for this is that it's not good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it takes energy to do this. That's what I don't understand. It's like if you have enough energy to take off all your clothes, go in your yard, roll your hips and your legs back and
hold it there for a half hour,
you're fine.
Right.
You got plenty of energy.
You
like
got
just the
energy,
idea
man.
I sit down when I'm taking my shirt off for 15, 20 minutes and just exhale. Like these people everybody wants a quick fix, and I guess the quickest fix to them is just, you know, saying hello.
Hello.
Sounds like it. It sounds like it's that kind of misunderstanding of like basic biological processes.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember the, and I feel like I'm not even allowed to say his name anymore, the Louis C.K.
Who cares? We don't care. I mean,
dude,
you can eat his.
You guys remember the stand-up where he talks about how he had a friend who thought if he just drinks milk, he can like make more cum?
No, but sounds accurate.
That
like
bit.
That I'll just drink milk if I'm running low.
Uh-huh.
Like there's this really unfortunate, and I don't know if it comes, I'm always trying to put my mind into the shoes of an individual who's like, okay,
yeah.
maybe because like you can take like there are certain drugs
right.
that if they're put there, they have a quicker effect.
Okay.
But that's actually like within your rectum where you absorb a lot of nutrients
yeah.
and it only works for certain drugs. But like, I just don't, like, why would that be some sort of like conduit, like a magical source where the sun, the vitamin D that you get from the sun, which is a real legitimate thing, like we do need to be outside periodically, but that it would have any much more effect, like in, you know, I'm doing a lot of hand motions right now that you guys can't see.
We're saying, why would be getting sun in the old undercarriage be any more beneficial than anywhere else on your body?
It's not. So just don't do
don't
it.
Don't do it.
This is like jade eggs. This is like full on, you know, goop. Like,
this
what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
It's all the horrible things that every legitimate scientist and medical practitioner is like, please don't do this because I don't want to have to treat you after you do.
You've heard it here,
exactly.
folks.
Exactly. We're going to take a break, but before we do, this is what we got coming up for you. MIT scientists created a psychopath AI by feeding it violent content from Reddit.
Whoa, bananas.
It's right up my alley. It's right up my alley. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Just a reminder to everybody, go to our Instagram page, The Bananas Podcast. We are there all the time. You can DM us your strange news stories or just chat with us. You can call Scotty on the banana phone for I don't know how much longer he's going to be willing to answer this phone.
Forever.
He's a beautiful and brave man.
I love it.
The phone number, of course, to the banana phone is 213-214-7974.
Yep.
Scotty will talk to you for 1 minute and then hang up on you.
It's been wonderful. And along the way, I got a text, and I just got to give a shout out to one of our bananimals. His name is Johnny Baines. Johnny, if you're listening, Johnny has been battling with diabetes for 50 years, and he suddenly lost his vision. He went blind, and he's getting eye surgery one at a time on each eye, and he listens to the podcast. So, Johnny, we hope it's a success. We hope you feel better soon. I hope your ears are going great, because we're going to keep trying to make you laugh during this crap. So thanks for listening, Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny. And we, of course, are here with our wonderful, fantastic guest, Cara Santa Maria. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. All right. Do you want to hear about this, MIT?
Oh, yeah.
Psychopath AI. MIT scientists created a psychopath AI by feeding it violent content from Reddit.
Sure.
This is, of course, and this was sent in by Anastasia Francis. Thank you, Anastasia Francis.
Thank you, Anastasia Francis.
This comes to us from the AV Club. And it has frozen, so
well.
I'm rebooting.
I love the AV Club, and I also check Reddit, the front page of the internet every day. And I can't imagine what they fed this robot.
Here
because
we go.
Okay, great.
Hi.
Look at that,
Sam Barsanti.
Flowers and puppies on Reddit all day. Yeah,
this is written by Sam Barsanti. We've all seen evil machines in The Terminator and The Matrix, but how does a machine become evil? It is like Project Satan from Futurama, where scientists combine parts from evil cars to create the ultimate evil car. I'm not familiar with that episode of Futurama, although I do love it.
Yes.
Or are machines simply destined to eventually turn evil when their processing power or whatever becomes sufficiently advanced? As it turns out, one guaranteed way to make a machine turn bad is by putting it in the hands of some scientists who are actively trying to create an AI psychopath, which is exactly what a group from MIT has achieved with
an
algorithm. It's called Norman. Like the guy from Psycho, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from Newsweek, which explains that the scientist exclusively fed Norman violent and gruesome content from an unnamed Reddit page before showing it a series of Rorschach ink blot tests, while a standard AI would interpret the images as, for example, quote, a black and white photo of a baseball glove. Norman sees, quote, man is murdered by machine gun in broad daylight.
Whoa.
Amazing.
Yeah. If that sounds extreme, Norman's responses get so much worse. Seriously, it may just be an algorithm, but if they dump this thing onto one of those awful Boston Dynamics dog bodies, we would only have a matter of minutes before killbots and murderoids start trampling our skulls. This is wonderful writing, AV Club, but I want more information. Here, Oh my God. So now, it gives the ink blot. You can see the picture of the ink blot.
Yes.
And then what a normal AI sees as a close up of a wedding cake on a table, Norman sees man killed by speeding driver.
Oh my God.
Another, a close up of a vase with flowers, Norman sees a man is shot dead.
Dear
Lord. Ink blot, a person holding an umbrella in the air, man is shot dead in front of his screaming wife.
Norman! Norman!
Now, here's the whole point of this. We're not going to read all of these, and not going to read the whole story. But what they are trying to do is prove that there is bias in AI.
Okay.
Which I think is very hypercritical. So it sounds like what they're doing is crazy. Like, why the fuck would you make an AI that's going to just be a psychopath, right?
Yeah.
But what they're saying is that depending on what you feed it, an AI, because an AI is just going out and crawling usually for the, you know, you're creating a neural net and you're no longer programming it. You're just kind of like teaching it and like kind of guiding it where to like learn.
Jeez.
And so if you guide it like you would guide a psychopath and give it only violent images, it's going to result in that. And that is a thing, because we wanted to do this thing. Kara, I'll tell you all about this. We created this this AI called Jokatron, which was just to be able to replace stand-up comedians. And
yes.
So we just would feed it all stand-up comedian sets. And now we do have this algorithm that can write comedy.
Is it good?
It's bad. It's really bad.
It's the best comedy. Kurt, you got to give us some highlights. When they first told me this, I was laughing at just, yeah, please, just tell some of, if you remember.
we gave it one setup was just farts. So we had farts, country strong. That was a whole joke.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
Another one was farts, the bathroom applauds on a little milk, which was great. But then we also gave it your mom is so fat jokes. And the best one was your mom is so fat, please take McDonald's away from the unfortunate one. Which was just like beautiful, where Jokatron's like getting a soul. He wants to say something with his comedy.
Please.
But the whole idea of that we started talking about as an idea for like a TV show or something is like the bias in AI is because they now have like an AI that it's a recidivism AI that determines and recommends to judges whether people should be given parole. And it's just a fucking algorithm that like crawls through previous decisions by judges and then recommends whether or not they should. And they found out that it was racist, that it was giving racist
recommendations. Because previous decisions are racist.
Exactly. Because the information that it was feeding on was racist. So it's so fucking crazy. That's so insane that like that we create these machines that then just mirror our worst selves back at us.
Right, because even if you're not giving it any information, even if its directive is to crawl the vastness of the internet using keywords or using whatever, the data sets that have been developed throughout human history are biased the way that human beings, or I should say biased the way that those who are in power to record history are biased, right? And that's usually, you know, it's people who are generally cis, white, Protestant men, that's who's historically had a lot of power, especially in the West. And we know that there's a lot of bias against women, people of color, you know, LGBTQI individuals. And you see it in almost every algorithm. It's horrible.
It's really
crazy. Even like places where they're really trying to fight against it, it's like they have to actively feed anti-racist rhetoric into it in order to, you know, fight back against that, because there's just too much racist data out there.
It's really crazy. I was always shocked when I learned that about that recidivism algorithm.
That's a horrible idea. Like, of course, that's going to be what happens. Yeah. We can't just keep perpetuating the norm. The norm is what's wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Also, people just trust. There's also a segment. There's a segment of the population that just does not trust any technology. You know, there's the Luddites of the world. And then there's a segment that trusts it too much. And I know this because living in Los Angeles and watching what people do in their Teslas is the most fascinating. I saw a guy reading a novel in his Tesla, and it made me laugh and then also go like, oh my God. But he had a hardback book against the steering wheel, reading it on the 405. And I was like, well, Okay. And also, Audible books exist. Just get the Audible book. Like, what are you doing?
But, right. You can still watch even if you're not holding the steering wheel.
Yes.
Like, just keep your eyes on the road, maybe.
I couldn't believe it. It was cool.
It's cool.
It was cool. I was like, this guy, he
you were
can
jealous.
I was like, he can multi. No, I hate my car for being too smart. It like warns me about things that aren't things, and I'm like, just leave me alone, please. I want to go back and get
what
like
kind
a,
of car do you have? What's your smart car?
I have
car?
A Volvo XC60. So it just like it always like if you're on a turn, if you're on like a slight turn and there's a car coming the other direction, it thinks you're going to hit it, so it dings. And then the seatbelt pulls you into the chair, and then it starts braking for you. And when I first got it, I had like a friend in the car, and it did it. And she was like, "Does this happen all the time?" I'm like, "It happens too much." She's like, "Can you turn it off?" I'm like,
yeah,
"Oh, I've tried
right.
many times." So now I just scare the shit out of myself every time I'm taking a slight turn.
My car's really smart, but I feel like it always helps me. Like there have been a handful of times where it, you know, knows that my follow behind distance is too short, and then somebody does brake,
right.
and it's like beep beep beep, and like starts to brake me, or I don't know, like it flashes my headlights when it's very dark, and then it turns them off. My brights, and then it turns them off again when it perceives light coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry if I'm driving on really dark roads. It just like illuminates for me. But I also drive an electric car, so it has a lot of good technology,
yes.
but not a Tesla.
Yes.
I drive a Chevy Bolt.
Yeah, baby.
Which actually,
that's what Kurt has.
Yeah.
Nissan
Leaf.
Nissan
Leaf.
Hell yeah. Yes. I'm obsessed with my Bolt. Because what's the range on the Leaf
it's
now?
Only 160.
Hey, that's far.
It's pretty good.
Bolt's
the
up
next
to
one,
260.
I'm not walking
yeah,
that
the
far.
Next one is two, the next one is 260. The one that's available.
I'm waiting.
Now.
Nice, nice. I'm waiting for like, I think Chevy's going to come out with one soon. I feel like I read something kind of like hinting to it. But I'm waiting for like an SUV, like a big electric
I just had
car
to,
that's affordable.
I just had to buy. There isn't one right now because we needed
I
a
know.
Bigger car. So I just had to buy a hybrid Highlander.
Right, right.
For because of my family.
We're doing great. We're saving
children.
The world is what we're all saying. We're trying.
So I have a question about this story. Though.
Yes.
Why did they choose to feed it things from Reddit mm-hmm. instead of like 4chan? Like, how much worse would it have been?
Oh, yeah, interesting. And also, what's weird too is that they don't name the Reddit subgroup. I don't know if they're trying to protect these lunatics.
There's lots of good stuff on Reddit too.
Yeah, Reddit rocks.
Posting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like 4chan is like all, like, that would be, it's like Pizzagate and like sex trafficking and, you know, lots of, and like white nationalism. So it would be really interesting to see.
It's that chatbot. When that chatbot like just got turned into like a racist porn spewing thing within like 24 hours, they just like opened it up.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did That's you guys cool. remember
that? And it also. Yeah. Kind of is interesting, this idea of sort of like back engineering. I don't know. This is just a thought, and I don't know
if
it actually makes any sense.
Give
but
it
like,
to us.
We love thoughts.
You know, we know what happens when a runaway neural net is fed targeted, biased, racist, whatever information, right? Because it's going to just keep learning and keep iterating and iterating, and eventually it'll become sort of like a super racist version of itself.
Okay.
But it also tells you a lot about the individuals that are spending time on these channels.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, because it's not like they went through, or I don't know, did they go through Reddit and pull the worst of the worst? Or did they just let it loose on a subreddit and say, good luck? And if that's the case, like, I feel like there's a wealth of psychological information. I hope these people at MIT are combing through that data and doing a study about what that means about the psychology of the individuals who are engaging on these channels.
Yeah.
Those dumbasses
better
get it right.
Yeah, I'd have to read it.
Also, side note, talking cars, I want to drive the Oscar Wienermobile so bad. I just saw an article about it. Kurt, would you do that with me?
100%.
Okay, so if anybody is closely related, works for Oscar Mayer, I love your hot dogs. I saw the Wienermobiles going around the country bringing joy. It was just like an article last week. I will do that. I can write from anywhere. I will gladly drive the Wienermobile. So please email the Bananas Podcast if you are connected to it in any way. I will sincerely do this.
Is it a real car?
Oh, it's huge.
Like a float.
It's a car. There's a bunch of them, and I don't know. They're about as long as a school bus, but they're shaped like a giant hot dog, and they look cool. I'm like, I want to drive that
thing. And so you can like drive on the freeway.
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
Like legit car.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, you take it to events. Like, I want to pull into the Super Bowl next year and back that thing right into place and just, you know, hand out whatever you guys hand out, or just wave at people, or just eat a hot dog.
Just right into the Super Bowl's perineum. Just right.
Yeah. I'll flip it upside down.
And also, if we're putting desires out into the world.
Of course we
are. For bananimals.
Of course.
I'm asking all bananimals. My Wikipedia is so wrong at this point.
Okay.
That I want it, like, either fix it for me or just add new things. Like, add things that aren't true. If you guys can add things that are not true to my Wikipedia page and get them to stick, I think that would be very funny.
Yes.
I don't think you can get them to stick, though. That's when your Wikipedia page becomes, like, really in flux.
Oh, in flux.
Like, they're going to add stuff, and then it's going to just constantly get taken down. But if there's anything that's not that happened to me. My birthday was wrong for years on Wikipedia.
I'm so sorry.
And there were little things here and there. And, yeah, my listeners fixed it. I don't know how. I don't know how Wikipedia works.
I do not know how it works. Also, I can't do anything with Wikipedia because my email address has the word bot in it, B-O-T.
Another great decision.
What I made up before the concept of bots, you know, like when Gmail first started. And now it won't. It just thinks I'm a robot trying to come in.
Because that's what a robot does, is they call themselves robots.
Yeah, exactly, right?
should I bring us back to humanity?
Please.
Here's a story. This one was sent in from Allison, a.k.a. Anders AG or Andersag, something like that. Thank you, Allison. Chinese woman brings 23 relatives to her blind date to test if her potential boyfriend is generous before being stranded with a $3,000 bill. Okay.
So this happened currently? This is a current story?
Yes. This is from the best of the best, Daily Mirror UK. You know, if it's Daily Mirror, it's 100% accurate. So I will also say that the number of times they say Chinese woman, even though we're China, like it's going to be, here we go. A woman in China has seen her blind date go horribly wrong after bringing along dozens of her relatives to the romantic occasion to test her companion's generosity. Without telling her date in advance, the Chinese woman allegedly showed up with 23 family members and turned their candle-lit dinner into a rowdy banquet. She was eventually left stranded with a whopping $3,000 American bill after her potential Mr. Right fled the restaurant upon receiving the check. Of course he did, as he should. I'm going to stop saying it, but the Chinese woman who remains anonymous recently went on a date with 29-year-old Mr. Liu in the eastern Chinese province of Zhejiang. According to the report, the date was set up by the man's mother after she was worried about her son, who had been single for a while. Before the meetup, Mr. Liu had offered to pay for the meal. Assuming that it would be a romantic dinner for two, he was taken by surprise when he saw his blind date, who arrived at the restaurant with 2 dozen relatives. I mean, that is so many people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. The woman told Chinese media later that she wanted to test her potential boyfriend was generous enough to pay for a feast of 25 people. After the luxurious banquet, the woman and her family were shocked to find out Mr. Liu had escaped from the restaurant. I think escaped is the exact right word for this, too. Like, oh, he must have been so overwhelmed. It is reported that he dashed off after seeing the bill, which added up to the expensive amount thanks to expensive dishes and alcohol ordered by the relatives. He failed his
Right. I just calculated that. That's $125 U.S. per person.
Right? Yes.
That's a nice meal.
Yes.
That's a crazy
birthday, like a anniversary kind of a meal.
$125 that if you go out and you're in a group and you end up having to pay $125, you're bummed.
You had a night.
Totally. Yeah. You're like, who drank 17 bottles of wine? Yeah.
I'm never that. I'm always like, I drank that much.
Kurt and I've gotten stuck with Kurt and I have gotten stuck a few times covering. We've gotten
comics.
Stuck.
Oof. Fucking comics, man.
I hate that too because I don't drink.
Yeah, that's
and
unfair.
And so it, like, I'm always that person at the table who's like, really,
that's
guys?
Unfair.
Like, really? Like, my food was like $14. How am I stuck paying $40?
Yeah, that's unfair. And that's a good tip too. If you go out and you're not a drinker, just take the amount of alcohol off and split it with that person. Like, people don't do that, but it's so obvious. Booze is so, like, when I take months off and don't drink, it's like my going out to dinner, the checks drop, I don't know, 30%. Like, it's crazy how much cheaper.
Significantly. Yeah. Yeah. And then the tip is smaller too.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll wrap this one up tight. So they later had an agreement that Mr. Liu would pay for a small part of the meal with the brunt of the bill shared among the women's 23 family members. This event sparked heated discussion on social media, of course, across many websites. One reader wrote, "Men should pay out of courtesy, but bring 23 people to the meal is unacceptable." Yes. And then this one's kind of interesting, because this must be just a cultural difference. Another commenter said, "Usually the woman would bring one or two friends in case it gets awkward." See, to me, as a gentleman, we should pay. If the woman brings seven or eight people, you should just leave. She wasn't genuine anyways. So,
right. She just obviously didn't want to go on that date.
Yes.
How did they even accommodate them? Did they make a res without him knowing after the fact? Did they say, "Oh, also plus 22 more"?
Yeah.
What,
like,
restaurant?
How did they even have tables?
What, restaurant is just like, "Oh yeah, of course. Did you had a table for two, but you want to change it to 25? Yeah, no problem.
No problem
Please
at
follow
all.
Follow me.
That's a lot of people. And it's also funny, like, it must be just a cultural difference, because if I went on a blind date with somebody and they brought two friends, I would be like, "Well, let's have a round and then I'm out of here." Like, it's nice to meet people, but I'm like, that's not a date at that point. That's just like a book club.
But also, like, your blind date would either probably have been through an app or set up by a friend.
Yes.
Whereas you're right, culturally, I think a lot of blind dates in, like, Southeast Asia or Asia, not every country, right? But countries where the parents are more involved in that planning, you might want a little bit of backup because you're like, "I do not trust my mother."
Right.
Like, I have no idea.
Oh, I see. Mind. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
you guys
so
want to have another one? We have gotten through so few stories.
Who cares? We're having fun. We're learning. Yeah. I learned that if I'm going to dress like a door this Halloween, so if anybody's a flamethrower, I'm just going to tackle them. Save the day.
Amazing.
This is from the Daily Star, so you know it's true as
you
well.
You got to trust the Daily Star.
This is sent in by O'Malley_12.
Thank you, O'Malley.
"Depressed and lonely fish who ate every friend he's had celebrates 16th birthday."
Oh, okay.
And it says, "A depressed fish has celebrated his 16th birthday in Finland with a cake and candles and a brief moment of happiness." Miko fell into depression when Linnanmäki Sea Life Center in Helsinki had to close for coronavirus lockdown, leading to staff going out of their way to help him. The grumpy-looking grouper fish has had depressive episodes throughout his life due to loneliness, which is mostly caused by his habit of eating the other fish in his tank. His most recent pal, a poisonous red lionfish, was also eaten. They bring him a cake made out of salmon for his birthday. He gets excited. He eats it. But this is the best line of the whole thing. So he, like, the reason that they know he's depressed, the big question is, like, how do they know he's depressed? He changes color when he is happy and excited, and then goes to, like, a deep, dark purple blue when he is depressed.
Oh, boy.
To people who take care of him.
Wow.
So that is the majority of the article, but here's the best line.
Yeah. Don't eat your friends, first of all.
"As a sociable animal, Miko is notably happier when he is put in tanks with other fish with whom he interacts and plays before eventually eating them."
Think of
Whoops.
That poor
Maybe
guy.
They meant to say, as a predatory animal, he is most happy when plotting the demise of his friends.
But if I love the idea of a fish who just can't help himself. That
right.
It's such a great character for an animated character. Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yeah.
Who just love? He's so lonely, and he loves when he sees other people, but then he always eats them.
Yes.
that he can't help himself. It's beautiful. It's a compulsive.
And he has like this existential crisis. Like, why was I designed this way?
Yeah.
Oh, nature, you make me so hungry.
I guess, you know what? Now that I think about it, it's just the shark from Finding Nemo. I just realized.
It's okay.
It's kind of, it's already.
Well, exists. You had that dog that ate that sugar, didn't you? Your dog ate a buttload of sugar, right?
When I was a kid, we had a 9-pound poodle, and when we were gone all day, we were gone for like 8 hours, and while we were gone, the cat knocked a 5-pound bag of powdered sugar onto the ground, and then the dog ate all 5 pounds of powdered sugar.
Did he live?
He vomited for like 3 days, but he was totally fine. But my joke about it was always like, I can only imagine his day where like manna falls from heaven. And he like gets into it. And he's like, this is pretty good. But probably after like 2 pounds of just licking powdered sugar, he's probably like, oof, I don't feel too good. But then something in his little doggy mind was like, but when is this going to happen again? Gotta get back in there, finish all 5 pounds of sugar.
Oh, man.
This is how I feel every time I eat at Chick-fil-A.
Oh.
It's like so sad.
Yeah,
it's
baby.
Like, It's like the universe is punishing me for like just really indulging in homophobic chicken.
Yes.
Like it goes against everything I believe
yes.
in. Yep. And I always feel super ill, tied to the bathroom, and then immediately like make a donation to the ACLU
yes.
every time I eat at Chick-fil-A.
So good though.
It's so good.
I always felt that way when I lived in New York and I was just broke. Whenever a bar would have like an anniversary and they would do like an open bar from 8 to 10 or whatever it was, my friends would know to call me and we would order top shelf whatever and we would order the worst drink. We would order Long Island iced teas because it had the most alcohol and was, you know, it was like so. And we would just get so bombed in two. And then it was only 9 o'clock and then you're like, well, I guess we just keep going. Like. But it always felt like we were getting back at something that might never happen again in a town where you're paying $6 for beers. You're like, tonight I make my stand. And my liver is like, please, God, don't do this to us.
Yeah, right. Like it forgets that there's only so much alcohol you can consume. I mean, it's sort of like, interestingly, and this is a weird tangent, but have you guys ever seen Inequality at all, the documentary by Robert
Reich?
No,
I haven't.
That's sort of the concept of the documentary. It's he's trying to debunk trickle-down economics
right.
and debunk
right.
the idea that if we just stimulate the economy for rich people, poor people will eventually
uh-huh.
experience
mm-hmm.
the benefits.
Right.
And he makes this beautiful point. There's like a super rich guy on it who's actually very progressive. And he's like, listen, when I buy a car, I buy a $250,000 car. It's a very fancy car. It's whatever. But I'm still only one person and I can only drive one car.
Yeah.
I can't drive 50 of those cars. You
right.
know, when I sleep at night, I sleep on the most expensive pillow imaginable. But there's only so many pillows that fit on my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the point, right? You can't
right.
like... drink all, like you can't make up for all, or it's like sleep banking or anything
mm-hmm.
else. Your body is going to be really pissed at you if you try to make up for all.
Right.
That. And that is why in Texas, historically, happy hour. So I grew up born and raised in Texas, lived there
Plano,
most of my life
right?
before coming. Plano.
Cool.
How do you know
I
this?
I just did the Plano
research.
Festival.
You did?
Yeah.
Plano has a comedy festival?
I think it's their second year. They asked me to do it last year, and I couldn't do it. And then this year, they did it virtually. So I just did it from where you're seeing me sit right now.
Cool.
That's amazing. That's so weird. Yeah, I thought we were only known for being like the first episode of True Life on MTV, all about like the heroin epidemic
oh.
in the 90s. But anyway, so yeah, growing up in Plano, blah, blah, blah. What the hell was I talking? Oh. Happy hour.
Yes.
Right. So I've never been a drinker. That just was never my thing. But obviously, I grew up in Texas. So all my friends were like
Heck
pissed
yeah.
off all the time. And we learned that happy hour cannot only be an hour legally in Texas
no
because
way.
So many people would just slam drinks during that short period
oh,
of time
because
they were cheaper.
Yeah.
And then there were just horrible drunk driving collisions and things like that. So happy hour has now got like a minimum of X number of hours
so
just to try and reduce people from acting like crazy assholes.
Yeah. It works. That's
so
a great.
Smart.
That's great. I didn't realize that. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we have reached the end of our hour with Kara. Mm. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What would you like to plug on the way out?
I mean, you know, lots going on. But I would say the big thing is my show, Talk Nerdy, with Cara Santamaria, pretty easy to find. It's a one to one and a half hour weekly science interview podcast.
Amazing.
It's been around for, I don't know, 5 years. I'm on episode like 330, something like that. I don't know. Lots of fun. It's got really long legs too. So if you're new to the show, you can go back to old episodes, and a lot of stuff is really evergreen in it, which is great.
I just listened to one on industrial espionage.
Oh, that one's fascinating. Yeah. She was good. Yeah. And I've got one coming out soon on the animal penis.
Yes.
Heard of it.
And what we and what we actually don't know about animal vaginas, because we
only study ding dongs. I was reading about that. Stop studying ding dongs, guys.
So much ding dong study. I also have I also have one coming out soon about books bound in human flesh.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Clive Barker episode.
From a librarian here in LA. Super interesting. Yeah. So really fun. Check it out. You can go to talknerdy.com or carasantamaria.com and learn everything there is to learn there. And you'll see all my social links too, because I'm pretty active on social media.
Great.
Mostly, I would say Twitter. That's where I tend to curate science stories.
Wow.
So if you follow me on Twitter, you will get 5 science stories that I think are really important, really relevant, really fresh every single day in your
feed. I'm going right now.
Mm-hmm. Twitter. Well, thank you, Cara.
I'm following.
So
thank
great.
You so much.
Would love to have you back.
Thanks, guys,
for doing the show.
Of course.
Bananas.
Bananas.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced and engineered by Katie Levine.
Theme song by Kehan Amati.
And all of our artwork is done by Travis Millard.
So please follow us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast, where we post so many more stories than make it here.
And you can share with us your strange news story by DMing us on Instagram at The Bananas Podcast.
So listen, subscribe, and please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bananas.
Bananas.